Just kidding. It's always interesting when you come up and there's glasses of water here and they have plastic still over the top of them. So I often think, are they wanting me to actually drink it or are they saving it for later on? But it's great to be here this morning. I text my sister in Melbourne and I said to her, I'm preaching in Zion this morning. Don't know what you're doing. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Children, go. Be blessed, be refreshed. Create mayhem for the teachers, stretch their faith. I heard they were having lollies or something, so I thought I might zip out there for a while. So anyway, I sent a text to my sister who'd been in ministry a long time, and I said, the one place you haven't preached is Zion. That's where I am this morning. Don't know what you're doing. And I said, it was such grace and compassion. But I'd just like to introduce my wife, Zella, for a moment. And yeah, give her a hand. I'll let her speak first, then I can tell you the truth afterwards.
Good morning. It's so lovely to be here today. Thank you for having us. We had lunch with pastors Irene and Philip on Thursday and fell in love with them immediately. They're just lovely. There's a beautiful anointing here this morning. You know, you step into worship, you step into the presence of God, and you know, sometimes it's just overwhelmingly like, wow, that's what it was like this morning. Where's the little girl that was leading worship this morning? She's there. Ah, Christy, there's a beautiful anointing on your life, honey. I'm sure it comes from that place of very deep intimacy with the Lord. And is that your husband with you? Sorry. You know, you just have to ask sometimes. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage you in that anointing. And you really usher in the presence of God, and it's really quite beautiful. I'm Zella. And we've been married 19 months, so I'm the new wife on the block, so to speak. The reason being, my first husband passed away 17 years ago, and Gary's first wife passed away 7 years ago, and they both died from cancer. And I waited a very long time for the right man of God to come and chase me down and whisk me off into the future. This is him. This is him. I had this phone call. I tell you, it is a long time when you're single and you're raising children, three children altogether that I raised. And, life is busy when you're a mum, and particularly as a single mum. But, you know, there's still always that yearning to have somebody by your side. And I had a promise from God. And, you know, sometimes when we're holding on to the promises of God, they take a lot longer than we think they should. But God's timing is always perfect. So I had this phone call from Perth on this particular day that said, hello, I'm Gary. And I knew who he was because a mutual friend had kind of, you know, introduced us or said to me that this guy was available and he was this, this, this and this. Because, you know, as girls, we have a list. Yeah? Hello, guys, get ready for it. If you're single here today, us girls have a list. And I said to her, oh, well, he doesn't quite check off on my list. So this relationship will go nowhere. Before it's even started, it is going nowhere. But I said to her that I would love to be his friend because I do know how lonely widowhood can be. And, you know, the reality is we're created to be interdependent. We're created to be in community. We're created to be with, you know, somebody. And so I was waiting for that somebody, and he rang me and said, would I fly from Sydney to Perth to have dinner? Do you think that's romantic? I thought that was really weird. This is a man that I've never met, I've never spoken to before, and he's inviting me to get on a plane and come for dinner in another state. It's like, don't think so. But anyway, I broke his heart. I really did. I broke his heart. And but he kept chasing me. So guys, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. And I caught him eventually. And we've been married on the road. We literally are in a different church every week across Australia, a different house, a different kitchen, a different bed. a different car often, and we just spend our lives building kingdom. And we very much are about empowering people to be everything that God's called them to be. You know, we are all called to be a light in this dark world. We have such a privilege to serve our Heavenly Father. Such an incredible privilege to serve him. And I just think it's such an incredible privilege to unwrap the gift that he's put on each of our lives and to be able to go out and be somebody, you know, a blessing in somebody else's world and bring them into the kingdom as well. So this morning you're in for a treat. I married him because he's actually a really good preacher. So had nothing to do with his charm or his good looks, you know. It was all about his preaching abilities. And you're in for a good morning because he's got a great message for you. And I hope you're really blessed, and I'm sure I'll come back later and say some things. God bless you.
Oh, dear. Some mothers do have them, eh? I mean, how many think that to offer to fly someone from Sydney to Perth for dinner, no strings attached, all expenses paid, is a romantic thing? One, two, three, four. Oh, come on, help me out here, help me out. Yeah, good on you. Give all the guys and the women who raised their hand a clap, because they're the true romantics in the church this morning. Yeah, it's probably because I'm taller than most. But anyway, she did have her boxes, and I didn't tick a couple of them. And one of them was, she said I was too old, and she actually called me a dinosaur. How do you like that? And then just before I'm getting up to preach, she has to tell me it has nothing to do with my good looks, my personality, my character. Oh, that's okay then. If you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1, I'd love to share with you. It's great being here at Zion Fellowship. I don't think I've preached in Zion before, so this is a new experience for me. And I'd like to thank Pastor Philip and Irene and the team for inviting me and being a part of you this morning. We've had a tour of the facility. Hasn't God given you just the most amazing facility? You know, not only for now, but for the future. As we drove up into the drive, we've got the oldest, smallest car in the parking lot. Somebody loaned it to us. I have to push the seats right back as far as I can go. And even then, the steering wheel's kind of under my chin. So I've got having an interesting experience vehicle-wise at the moment. But it beats walking, hey? And I couldn't help but, as we drove up, just the view, the fact that you're on that bit of a hill overlooking the homes. And I thought, man, it's like I felt there was a prophetic thing about that. You know, that God's put you in a place where you can speak prophetically, see prophetically over the community. And I thought, what an astounding thing. My spirit kind of just ignited as soon as I pulled into the car park. That doesn't usually happen. But I just thought, what an incredible position. What an incredible blessing that you have here. And so I just want to congratulate you all, because a church goes nowhere without its leadership being open to God and stepping out in faith. And all of that. So I congratulate you on your journey of faith, your willingness to follow the leadership and go for it. And as Ella's already said, I just love the spirit of the meeting this morning. Just such a gentle spirit. I'm going to preach now, so all that's over. No, just kidding. I just felt such a warmth this morning. I thought, okay, if I could get away with it, I think I'd just lie down on the carpet and have a soak of time and let Pastor preach, and I'll just kind of get renewed in spirit and mind and everything else. But I want to share with you this morning something that God's put on my heart just fairly recently. How many of us know that in the Christian life, when you've done the journey for a long time, sometimes life just kind of sucks spiritual life out of you? And Zella and I both had a very interesting journey. I've lost my mother and my father, my mother-in-law and my wife all to cancer. And they're all in ministry in one way or another. And it was an incredible thing. And I noticed that through the journey, what I'd done is I'd started to bring my expectation back to my experience. You know, we often get disappointed in God. We pray for someone and they die. It's not very encouraging, is it? You know, there's all these kinds of things happen. We have businesses, Christian businessmen who sometimes go through horrific things, lose their business. Life, you know, it wasn't meant to be easy, Malcolm Fraser said. I never thought there'd be a prophetic prime minister in Australia. But kind of life is challenging, isn't it? And Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he didn't come to give us religious life and have religious life to the full, but life. And he wants us to enjoy life, but sometimes the journey is difficult. You know, how many have found the journey a challenge? I'm going to join this church. Nobody. Yeah, okay, a few of you. It's a challenge, you know, and sometimes we live in the tension between the promise and the possession of that promise. And so there's this struggle of faith. And earlier in the year, I just had one of those prayers that was a sigh. You know what I mean? There's prayers where we get heaven's gates and shake them and pray and fast and do a hunger strike, you know, trying to get God to do something. But earlier in the year, I just had a sigh. I just thought, how do we get to see the things that Jesus saw? It was just as simple as that. And instantly what shot back to my spirit through the Holy Ghost was preach Jesus. And I went like, duh, you know, preach Jesus. So I started to go back into the New Testament because I love the Old Testament, love to preach from the Old Testament. In fact, probably the majority of my ministry is based in the Old Testament, but bringing New Testament truth out of it. I just love the Old Testament. So I started to go into the New Testament again, begin to seek God. And God just showed me some beautiful things out of Colossians. And for those that are into titles, I've titled my message, The Cosmic Connection. The Cosmic Connection. And I want to read from chapter 1, verse 25, Paul speaking. It's interesting, it's a prison epistle. He's writing this from prison. He doesn't know what the future holds. Life is uncertain. But he begins to pen this amazing revelation. It gives a great profound prophetic insight into the supremacy of Christ. In my view, Colossians is one of his greatest works. Here Christ is revealed as the cosmic reconciler between heaven and humanity. And Paul brings heaven and humanity together in such an amazing way. And I read a verse that I cannot remember ever reading before. Anyone know what I mean? You know, I'm sure I have because I've read the whole Bible. But I came across this verse and it just ignited my spirit in the most amazing way. So here is Paul speaking, verse 25 of chapter 1 of Colossians. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Immediately that captured my attention because a lot of us have a particular truth we camp at. Very happy with that truth. We live in that truth and we hardly see anything else that's in the Bible. You know, you'll have your faith people. Everything's faith. You'll have your people who are into prosperity and everything's prosperity. And you'll have your healing people and everything's healing. And if we're not careful as churches and individuals, we can camp at a particular site that's comfortable and miss so much else. And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm glad that God has a smorgasbord, you know, for us to eat from. Mind you, I could eat Chinese every meal. I love Chinese meals. I just love it. Thanks for the Chinese meal the other day. You know, I could have fried rice and satay beef and a few other things, which is kind of Australianized Asian, I know. But I could eat it every meal. I just love it. But how many know that wouldn't be good for you? You know, we have to eat a whole load of things. If you speak to Zella, Zella has one meal she has, and she alters it in different ways. She has salad. And the following night, she'll have salad. I remember when we got married, she said, honey, I think we'll have salad tonight. Well, that was okay on night one. But 3 months into the marriage, she said, look, I think we'll have salad tonight. I said, oh, that is so unusual. That is so amazing. Let's do salad. You know, so we try and mix our meals up a little bit. But it's easy to camp somewhere and miss everything else that God has for us. So as soon as I read that about Paul, I thought, I'm going to read this. I'm going to see what Paul has to say because he wants to preach the entire message. He says, this message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now has been revealed to God's people. That is some secret. He says, I'm about to write to you and reveal a secret that has been a secret for generations. This has been a secret for centuries. That's some kind of secret, isn't it? I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago and they were interviewing the CEO of Coca-Cola. Someone in the States had found this supposedly Coca-Cola recipe in the attic of an old house. It was on an old, very old paper and old writing. And anyway, someone had put it on eBay and I think they were wanting something like $1.25 million for this recipe of Coca-Cola. And they come there talking to the CEO and he's just sitting there with a grin. And I said, look, aren't you worried about this? You know, your whole recipe is blown. Now that everybody will be able to make Coca-Cola, your uniqueness will be gone. The business will be just a total failure. Everything will crash. And he's sitting there with this huge grin on his face. And he says, guys, see that vault over there? He says, that's where the recipe is. There's only one copy. It's all cool. No one has the secret recipe. He said, no one in our organization knows the whole recipe. Everyone has just a glimpse. They know their part that goes in this mix. Someone else adds something else. No one knows everything that's added. That's why it's a secret. And I said, but aren't you worried? This looks so real. And he said, it might look real. He says, but I've got the real. Hand up all the Coca-Cola drinkers. One. High five, bro. You only drink the real thing? Okay. And here is Paul. He's saying, listen, I'm going to reveal to you a secret that's been kept a secret for centuries and generations, but now it has been revealed to God's people. Listen to this, will you? And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing in his glory. See, our first connection here is a connection with cosmic favor. He says, this is the secret. Christ actually lives within you. All of a sudden, I thought, some of my prayers don't make sense anymore. Some of my prayers have been very much like, God, where are you? You probably wouldn't have ever prayed a prayer like that. You're too cool, too together. But there's been times in my life I thought, like, God, where are you? I can't feel you. God, come down. And now I can't pray that because it's like, duh, Christ is within me. Christ, that means he never leaves me. Christ is always with me. That is life-changing truth if our spirit will receive it this morning. That means those days we get out of bed and we say, good Lord, it's morning, instead of good morning, Lord, nothing has changed within us because Christ is on the inside. That means we can never have a bad day, never have a bad meeting. Christ always turns up. Why? Because he's in me. Christ in me. Don't know what the rest of you are doing. You're in trouble. I've got Christ in me. To the person next to you, say, Christ in me. To the person on the other side, say, I'm worried about you, though. See, here is Paul. He says, this is a secret. See, the problem is it is still a secret to many of us. That Christ, the Son of the living God, actually lives within me. That means every morning when we get out of bed, we should plant our feet on the carpet and say, a man of God has just got out of bed. I wouldn't say that if I was a lady. I'd change it slightly. Woman of God has just got out of bed. See, the Bible says that with a head, not the tail, we're above and not beneath. How do we live there? By understanding truth. I don't have to somehow bring Christ down. Christ lives within me. I don't have to somehow bring the presence of God from somewhere. Christ lives within me through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said this has been a secret for centuries. This has been a secret for generations. And the problem is we still keep that secret often because we don't live like Christ is on the inside. So the challenge for us is to live our revelation, isn't it? See, information just gives us more stuff that we know, but a revelation transforms our life. A revelation is like when God gets a branding iron of truth and he sizzles it into our spirit. It's like, it doesn't matter how good anyone's argument is, once that's happened, it never goes. You've had a revelation, a revealing. It means apocalypse, the lifting of the lid. Ever walked into someone's house and it's like, I know it's for dinner tonight. Roast dinner. Roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, potatoes. I'm a mashed potato man. I love mashed potato with anything. Anybody love mashed potato with anything? Good. Okay, I'll give you my card later. You can invite us for dinner. See, but when you walk into the house, the fragrance is great, but when they take the lid off and they bring it all out of the oven, how many of you know, it's even much better. It's gone from something your nostrils are picking up like, oh, baby, it's going to be good dinner tonight. And then you look at it and think, like, wow, but then you taste it. And it becomes a part of you. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's as we consume the truth. It's as the truth becomes a part of us that it changes us. It changes us. You can probably gather, I like food. I used to be slimmer. So much slimmer than before. No. Listen, I have a six pack, but it's still in the box, okay? So here is Paul. This is a secret that you need to make a part of you. Christ is within you, and this is the hope of God receiving glory. See, there's no plan B. We are the hope of this world because we have Christ within us. That's why Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm going home to be with the Father. I'm leaving you to look after the family business. Establish kingdom. Build kingdom. That's why with the prayer, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How are we going to do that? Through us, the church. Why? Because Christ is in me. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. He says, we've kept it a secret too long. The reason we've kept it a secret is most of us haven't actually lived like Christ is within us. We listen to every criticism the devil throws at us. You're no good. You don't pray enough. You don't fast enough. Actually, I'm into fasting. I've discovered 40 is the key. So I fast 40 minutes a day. And the rest live in blessing. Why go on a 40-day fast when you can do a 40-minute fast? You can even do it a number of times a day and make sure you're even more spiritual than the guys who do 40 days because, forget it, yeah, my doctrine's a bit shaky, isn't it, on that one? Better move on. So, but this is the secret. It says Christ lives within you. See, Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children's children. Okay? So the things revealed, they belong to us. Mine. Do you know I did something I cannot believe I did a number of months ago? How many guys have their chair in their house? You know, it's your chair. Come on, someone help me out here. Someone, yeah, one, two, you, yeah, chair. It's your chair. Your chair. Oh, you cheat. You take yours everywhere. I tried to pull him out of his chair and sit in it out there, and he said, it's my chair. I had some friends come in to visit us, and we kind of were just having Bible study and prayer. I had my Bible and I had my iPad on the chair, and Jeff and Jenny won't mind me sharing. They're beautiful friends. They came in, and Jeff's a little short guy. When he sits on my couch, his feet don't touch the floor, so he likes to sit on a chair because then he can put the legs up and stick his legs out. You know? So Jeff comes in and he sat in my chair without even thinking. Obviously, I said, that's my chair. I could not believe I said it. Have you ever done that? You know, foot in mouth disease. I have the cleanest feet in the kingdom. And I actually, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it, isn't it? Jeff, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, Jeff. I'm just kidding. It was all too late because he knew the way I said it. I meant it and I knew I said it. Most embarrassing moment of my life. You know, it's mine. You know, and have you ever seen a kid being asked to share lollies? You know, child has a bag of lollies and you know, Johnny has one, but Sarah doesn't. So mum says to Johnny, share your lollies with Sarah. So Johnny picks out one lolly out of the bag, hands it to Sarah. And mother says, no, you share. You hand her the bag, let her choose her own lolly. It's kind of like, my mother's turned into Satan. It's kind of like, you let her grab one and you pull the bag away. Mine. You getting the drift? Mine. Pastor took me to see my office. I thought, where's mine? Where's my office? Okay. Mine. See, the secret things belong to God. The things revealed belong to me. Are you getting it? Christ in me is the hope of God receiving glory. Why? Because we're doing the God thing here on earth. He gets glory. That's mine. Because it's what is revealed. It's yours. Because he's revealed it. He's written it down. Give me a wave if you're starting to get it. Christ in me. My truth. My reality. Why? Because he's revealed it, so it's mine. If he hadn't revealed it, it would have stayed his. But he's revealed it, so it's my truth. My reality. My vision. My dream. My call. My destiny. Exactly the same with every one of you. Okay. Now you know the secret. Now you know the secret. And then in chapter 2, as we go down a little bit further, we find, and he says, now that you've accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and your lives be built on him. So we have to let our roots grow. We come to Christ, we're born again, we get filled with the Spirit. But we can't stay where we are. We have to continue to grow. He says, let your roots grow. See, a lot of Christians don't let their roots grow. Their life's filled with a whole lot of stuff, but they don't let their roots grow. So Paul's saying, you have to let your roots grow down into Christ. So here we have this amazing promise, Christ in you, the hope of sharing in his glory. Just let your roots grow down into Christ, and all this will become a reality. See, what I love about the Bible is it gives so much encouragement. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that the amen is spoken by us for the glory of God. Okay, so here we have two aspects of glory. Christ in me is the hope of God receiving glory. Me saying amen gives Christ glory. See, you got it easy this morning. I had to prepare this message. Blood, sweat, tears. Fasting for 40 minutes. Just seeking God to bring to you a truth. And all you have to do is say amen. I had the hard job. I had to seek God. God, help me. Some of you think you need all the help you can get. Yeah, I do. But he says, all I have to do is say amen. Amen. I'm having that. That's what amen means in a modern language. I'm having that. I'm going to have that. Amen. God said it. That settles it. Amen, baby. That's mine. That's where I'm living. Isn't that amazing? That's all God wants us to do with everything in the book. Don't explain it away. Don't complicate it. Just read it. Say, wow, amen. I'm going to live that. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. I'm going to live that. How many are going to live that now? I have to say, amen. You didn't dream it up. You didn't write it. You didn't even prepare to preach it. You got it easy peasy this morning. All you have to do is sit there all my whole message of 10 hours and say, amen, amen, amen. And when I say, I'm finally my brethren, you'll really say amen. Amen, I'm having some of that. Let me give you an illustration here. A number of years ago, I was down at the Bell Tower in Perth having lunch with a guy called Ken Fletcher and Neil Smith. And we'd had lunch and we were out there on the boardwalk area. We went in to have sweets. How many like sugary sweet things? Yeah. See, I've got a fridge magnet that says a balanced diet is a chocolate in each hand. I've got another one that says I'd give up chocolate, only I'm no quitter. So we went in to have some sweets. And here was this cake. And it was on a thing, not quite as big as the top of this pulpit, but almost. This huge cake, unmolested. Not one piece cut out of it. And I walked up and it's got chocolate coming out all over the place. And it's got crunchy, goldy-looking stuff. What do you call that? Sticking out all over the place. Honeycomb. Is that what it's called? I don't know. Whatever it is. Honeycomb. Okay. Toffee, something like that. Anyway, one of those sweet things. And I looked and I said, I'll have a piece of that, please. Great, what are you having, Ken? Oh, Ken says, oh, that really looks good. I'll have a piece of that. And then Neil said, yeah, me too. So the guy reaches in under the counter, grabs this whole thing, sticks it on top of the counter, and he says, here, guys, it's all yours. I looked at it, I thought, like, what? I said, you're kidding, right? Said, no, guys, it's all yours. We grabbed hold of that thing. We walked out onto the boardwalk. The place is as noisy as noisy. Everybody's talking and into their meal hour. All of a sudden, complete silence. As 200 eyes stared at us. We sat down and I just began to cry. Because God said this to me. I'm going to give you favor with God and man. And I thought, God, what an amazing revelation of your goodness. This whole cake, three guys. I thought, that's the Father heart towards us. Just imagine how crazy it would be if we'd all sat down and said, oh, look, it's too good to cut. I better not cut it. Someone's worked hard on this. We'd just kind of leave it. Let's look at it for 50 years, you know. So, no, man, what did? We got into that thing. We got an anointing for cake and chocolate and sticky stuff and crunchy stuff. And you know what? God has revealed to us a most incredible truth. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And he just wants us to get in on it and enjoy it. Why? Because he's done the hard stuff. He died. He was flayed. He rose from there. He's done all the hard stuff. All we have to do is make it ours. Taste and see the Lord is good. I love that truth, Lord. I'm not a no-hoper. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. Christ lives within me. And if I'll just come to grips with that reality, I will change my world because I will walk life differently. Because me, I'm a son of God. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Look out, baby. I just got out of bed this morning. Come on. Close your eyes, just for a moment, please. Just dream a little. Suddenly you wake up one morning, you're in this mansion. There's nothing like it in the whole of Perth. Incredible. Gold cutlery, gold edging on all the plates, huge swimming pool, air conditioning. You go downstairs and there's your dream car, whatever that happens to be, in the driveway. I think, what's going on here? Well, someone else paid the price, man. It's your gift. It's a gift to you. How many reckon we could all enjoy that? You can look at me for a minute. How many reckon we'd have a good day that day? How many know when you're driving down the road in your Rolls Royce, Maserati, VW Golf, whatever's your dream? That's your dream. You need prayer. And how many know you would live that day differently? Come on, seriously, you would live that day differently. You would understand that all this is a gift. I haven't had to pay it. It was a gift of God. And all I have to do is enjoy it, man. You'd walk down the street like you owned Perth. My town. My car. My house. My world. My dad owns this world. My world. See, the devil doesn't want us thinking like that. Well, that's pride. No, it's not. It's common sense. Because it's been a gift. Eternal life has been a gift. Blessing has been a gift. The Holy Spirit has been a gift. Redemption has been a gift. God just wants us to enjoy it. All I have to do to every incredible truth is just say, amen. Just like the chocolate cake. I'll have some of that. How many want everything God has for you this morning? Just say amen. 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 Okay. Now do we come to my first point. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. I am still trying to get my head around this. I've been preaching it for 8 months. I still can't get my spirit, my head around it totally. Listen to this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Of course, some of you discovered that. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. I read that. I thought, God, you have got to be kidding. You have got to be kidding. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in one human body. My brain fried completely. This is the God who created the cosmos. We cannot see the end of the galaxies. We cannot see the end of the universe. It just goes on and on. This is the God who said, let there be light, and light was, you know. Just instant. No committee meeting with the angels. God just said, let there be light. Bang. Every word was creative. Suddenly we have a world. He looks into a world that is nothing, seething mess. Darkness reigned over the deep, and suddenly God begins to speak and created the most incredible world there is. Wow, that God, not a minute part of that, that God lived in Christ. Okay, Pastor, I need three people. I'll let you choose them so I don't get into trouble. I need, first of all, choose God for me. Who will be God this morning? Who will play God? Come on, quick. I need God to hurry up. Okay, now I need Jesus. Don't be sexist now. We have to bring the ladies into this too. Okay, Jesus. How about super Christian? Now you can have a girl as super Christian. You'll be safe. You'll keep your credentials. Third one? Super Christian? No, I want a girl. Oh, okay, the Holy Spirit. We'll have the Holy Spirit too. We'll have a girl for the Holy Spirit, shall we? If you've read The Shack, you won't have a problem with it. Julie, here's the Holy Spirit. Okay. If you'd like to step back here. Now, we need to be on the slider angle so everybody can see. Okay, now, you just stand over there for a minute. Just there, okay. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, super Christian. We're missing someone. Albert Einstein. Super Christian. Okay, now here's what the Bible's just said. God. Everything God is, okay, is in Jesus. Hi, Jesus, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Raised any dead lately? No. Still practicing. Okay. Always bothers me when I go to a doctor and it has a practice written on it. This is a doctor's practice. Give me one who knows what he's doing. Okay. Okay, now just stand there for a minute. Look at this. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. Listen to this. Read your Bible. Look at it. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. Okay? You got that? So you also are complete because of your union with Christ. Okay? So here we have God. A dad?
Yeah.
You happy with your son? He's doing the will of the Father, isn't he?
This might be lovely.
Yeah, and he only does the things he hears from the Father, so that's pretty good, eh? Hey, so here we have God who created the cosmos, living in Christ, and that's what the Bible says, in a human body. He looks almost human, doesn't he? Human body. Okay, so here we have human body. You've got to get hold of this. Not a special body created especially for Jesus, but a human body, right? Say human. A human body. All of God in the total fullness of who he is in the human body of a person born of a virgin called Jesus. So Thomas comes along to Jesus one day feeling particularly spiritual, and he says, Master, show us the Father. That'll all be cool. Doesn't quite say it like that. That'll be sufficient. Okay. Show me the Father. It'll all be cool. Jesus turns to him and goes, oh, Tomo. He says, Have you been such a long time with me and haven't seen me? Because he who has seen me has seen my Father. Okay? So Jesus, exact representation of Dad, Father, Son, exact representation, nothing missing, like there wasn't a bit sticking out here. Okay, so he had to chop off an arm because God wouldn't fit into Jesus in a human body. Okay, we didn't have to shrink God down in some way, to shrink wrap him, to put him in here. Everything he is in here, in Jesus. What happened to your beard, Jesus?
You don't have a beard.
Oh, Jesus had one. Does it say whether God does? Okay. Then we have the Holy Spirit. Hello, Holy Spirit. How are you this morning? Thank you for coming to church. We would have church would not have been the same if you hadn't come. Okay? And then we have Super Christian. But actually he's not. He's just a Christian. Someone who loves Jesus. Someone whose sins have been forgiven. Are you limping? Do you need prayer?
Yeah. No.
Healed. You are healed. Well, stop limping then. So, I'm just mucking around. You do have a sense of humour, don't you?
I have.
Good. don't squash the Holy Spirit. Just step forward a little bit. Okay. I'm going to repeat it because if you get it, it'll change your whole life. If you don't get it, it'll just be another message. God, in totality, a nothing missing representation of that God is Jesus. And then the Bible says, so you also are as complete as these two through the power of the Holy Spirit because of your union with Christ. Okay. God, awesome, dude. Jesus, wow, God in flesh. Feels exactly what we feel, yet could still live as God lived. You getting it? Goes through everything we do, yet lived like God. Then the Bible says, so also are you, through your union with the Holy Spirit, Christ lives within him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So what do we have here? We have normal Christian, who as far as God is concerned is super Christian, because everything we see here has been imparted to here so that he's no different than here. Oh, don't get excited. Go on. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Give them a clap. Okay? So here we have it. See? Okay? For in Christ... Have you turned to the scripture yet? Are you looking at it? For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Say it with me. A human body. So also are you. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. So also are you. Turn to the person on the other side and say, he's talking about you too. See how nicely I did that? I didn't even have a negative thing that time. So also are you what? Complete. Complete means nothing missing. Complete means not a lesser example of the real thing. A nothing missing expression of God. How many are starting to get that in your spirit this morning? That's who we are. That's who we are as far as the Bible says. That's who we are as far as God's concerned. That's who we are as far as the Holy Spirit's concerned. All we have to do is grasp that and begin to walk in it. How many want to live there this morning? Well, where do the rest of you want to live? If you want to live there, I'm inviting you to stand right now. And we're just going to pray before we get into other areas. Okay? Now, I want you to repeat this after me, okay? Christ in me is the hope of God receiving glory. Christ in me is the hope of God receiving glory. So also am I complete because of my union with Christ. I want you to bow your heads for a moment because I want to talk to you just very briefly before we pray. The problem is not anything else than one thing, and that's our union.
Mm-hmm.
Our union with Christ. Our union with Christ is not a one-off thing. Our union with Christ is an ongoing, intimate relationship. The reason we're not living in Colossians is because we have occasional union with Christ. We come, we're saved. Yeah, fantastic. But it's a continual union with Christ. You getting it? It's the continual union. Now, one of the reasons I've got you to close your eyes, because I'm not being crude here in any way, but we need to take it in the natural to take us into the spiritual. If when you got married, you made love on your wedding night and had never done it again, raise up your hand if you'd be disappointed. Three people. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Union is a continual intimacy with the Creator through the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us like Jesus. Whereas we get caught up in life, do all sorts of stuff, get caught up in the world we live in, and have very little union with Christ, very little intimacy, and wonder why things aren't happening the way they should. So we're going to pray a prayer of a renewal of ongoing intimacy this morning, because Christ in you, not me, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not Christ in the pastor, Christ in you. So I'm just inviting you to put your hand on your heart for a moment and just pray this prayer after you. Lord Jesus, renew my heart, renew my passion for intimacy with you. I ask, Lord, that everything God is, I will become because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me see myself as you see me, Lord, that I might bring you glory. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for a minute.